Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It happens every night.
Every old night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No.
Nope, not even kind of.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
We're going right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Whoa! Budget live. The not-so-live variety from the low-budget live bar and grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for November the 27th, almost December. November the 27th, 2023, the post-Turkey Day episode of Low Budget Live. And if I look like I'm a little tighter in here in the bar and grill, you bunch of low-lifers, it's because I've done unspeakable things to food for the last few days, as so many of y'all have, I imagine. But goodness gracious, I feel like this year, I don't know. I need a hard reset. I'm fat as a tick, like I keep mentioning, man. I don't let the beard. I've got the deer beard going, and it makes my head look like nine times bigger than it is. But boy, I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling it. I ate so many sweets. I probably gave myself diabetes. I had a crazy week, good week, but Thanksgiving week, I think I mentioned this last week, it's always about family for me, real nostalgic in that, a lot of great memories like so many, everybody does really about Thanksgiving for the most part, I'm sure, but for me, it's about being in the outdoors and deer hunting as well. That week, those two go hand in hand with me, whether it was my dad, my brother, my uncles, my cousins back in the day. Spent a lot of time around Thanksgiving deer hunting, and in Southern Tennessee, Southern Middle, where I'm at, tends to be when things kind of start happening in the woods. You know, I shot a really nice deer last year, Thanksgiving weekend. And if I think back over the years, a lot of things have happened, but it's just a great time to spend time in the woods. And man, I've had a deer that, been kind of quiet about just because it's here at my house. And, I've got, you know, not a huge place at all. And this deer, and I've been able to take a couple nice deer here over the years, but this one was, he was around last year, and he kind of was on the list, to be honest, last year. And he left for a while, and I thought he'd got shot, and he came back, and he was all broke up. And Ryder D wanted to shoot him, and I wouldn't let him. I was like, nope, we're going to pass him. He's all busted up, and maybe he'll really change next year. And he didn't that much, put on a little bit more mass, but anyways, Ryder said, well, you better name him Lucky, because he's lucky you're not letting me, take him out of the herd, because Ryder is an assassin, to say the least. But anyways, this deer, he showed back up a couple weeks ago. he's been in my crawl. I haven't been able to catch up with him. And last Friday, I guess it was, he really started being more consistent here, at least on camera. And I hunted 8 days straight, with the exception of a couple afternoons. Boys and I went down to a lease that we have, and Hudson was able to take his second buck ever earlier during the week. But then I really, like, towards the, we had a big weather change, and I really focused up here at the house, and I saw this deer. Like, he even took the triple threat with me Thanksgiving afternoon. I saw this deer, and chasing does, couldn't get a shot, and I saw the deer again Friday morning. And man, I got neighbors hunting all around, and look, anybody that kills this deer, high five. I wasn't going to be upset necessarily, but of course I got a lot of history with him, and I'm sure everybody else does too. But Saturday morning was able to take this deer. Awesome. First thing in the morning on my own place, man, beautiful morning, and could not be. And it's a perfect way to end a, you know, a week where we're all talking about what we're thankful for and everything. But man, I just, my brother came to help me and my, get the deer out. My dad was here, and it was just it was just one of those memories that, you know, none of us will ever forget, hopefully. And all the boys were involved, and Hudson and Ryder and Charlie, and he even got Marissa out to look at the deer, which she hates looking at dead deer. But it was awesome, man. Awesome. It was a really special deer, and just a freaking great way to end Thanksgiving week. So if I seem like I'm fatter than normal, it's because of all the food. And if I seem like I'm exhausted, it's because I have just been going, son. I have been up every morning at 4 and doing it to it. Just abandoning all responsibilities. Marissa D, the triple threat, said, thank God this is over. But the boys still, man, they're still after it. And I'll be back after it again. Sooner than later, but this certainly, once you get, and y'all deer hunters that are listening, if you're not a deer hunter, fast forward to this part, but if you're a deer hunter, you understand, one gets in your damn crawl, oh boy, there's nothing like it. Marissa said that. She goes, I don't get any of this. You know, she didn't grow up around hunting much, and really until she and I got married, and she's like, but when you set, like, you get obsessed with one, it's really kind of crazy to watch it go down. And I'm like, yeah, that tends to be how it goes. But it's been, I think, since 2019, I've been able to take a really mature deer every year since 2019. And y'all, the hunt, you know, that's a pretty good run I'm on, I feel like. And I'm blessed to be able to do it. And look, if you're in Iowa, if you're in Kansas, if you're in Illinois, some of these places, you know, 140s, 140-inch deer, you're like, eh, whatever. I get it, for sure. But anytime we can take deer in that 5-year-old and older class in Tennessee, and I certainly, the last four for sure that I've taken have been in that age class. It's, you know, that's a damn mature deer, and it's awesome, man. They're just a different creature. So nothing but respect for them, and lucky, Mark Lucky off the list. Ryder was a little bummed, but he was also very proud for dad, too. I will say that. So awesome. Thanksgiving. I hope all of y'all lowlifers had a great Thanksgiving out there, for sure. And you got to spend it with who you wanted to spend it with. And that's always a good thing. We've got a show today that I am, I don't get nervous on this show. I do it every week. This is one that I'm really looking forward to our guest. But first, I'm gonna read some sponsors off real quick, and then we're going to get into it with this guest. And man, this is one of my heroes, so I can't wait. Absolutely cannot wait. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, your weed eater and your chainsaw. Hudson Duncan said, why do we have to worry about ethanol, Dad? So I explained the deal to him and got him called up. He said, oh, we better not let that happen. You better put some of that in my vehicle now that he's a driving man. Enzyme-powered fuel treatment in your weed eater and your chainsaw. But most importantly, in that outboard engine, if you're going to store your bass boat this time of year, and so many of us do, like I said, 8 days straight. If you're going to store it for 2 weeks or longer, shame on you. First of all, shame on me for not getting the Express out more than that this time of year. But these deer are on the brain. Put you some StarTron in the tank to make sure ethanol does not gum up the works. Pro Guide batteries. I've got to read, let y'all all know something right here now. ProGuideBatteries.com is where you can find them. LBL10. But they're having a fall sale, and this thing is going to run through the end of the year, 12/31/23. But it started on Black Friday, but they have got their lithiums, the ProGuide Lithium. It's the PGL fall sale. And these, I brag about them every week, y'all know, but I'm super impressed with these batteries. But these are the 24M50, the 24M75, and the 24M75STs. $399, $499, and $699. Get on the website, get all the specs on that. But that's going to run through. It's not just a Black Friday deal like so many are putting out. This one's going to go through the end of the year, 12/31. So, fellas, get your ladies and tell them to get over there to ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is going to help you out there. LBL10 as well. Let them know you are a low lifer. ProGuideBatteries.com. They've been in the business for 40 years, man. OEM trusted. There's a lot of fly-by-night battery companies. I say it every week. You can trust ProGuide Batteries. Baitworks.com. Bait-WRX.com. They had a crazy sale over the weekend. They got them LOB jigs. The Power Finesse jig with the 3-aught custom trocar hook in that bad boy. Finer than frog hair. Custom skirt in 7 colors. And we're working on that new. But the response to these has been amazing. I appreciate each and every one of y'all picking these up. It's got the LBL logo on the package, and it catches fish, period. It just does. Gets a lots and lots of bites. Don't just take my word for it. Check it out at bait-wrx, baitworks.com. But don't just stop there. Huge selection. And as I say each and every week, if you want it, they got it. And you better not order it if you don't want it on your doorstep, because they're going to knock on the door and hand you a box very, very quickly. You can use Duncan-10, D-U-N-K-I-N-10 there at checkout to save you some money. Let them know you are a lowlifer at baitworks.com. And last but not least, hang the imaginary banner. Express Boats Hot Springs, Arkansas. I'm running the X21 Pro LE. My this year's model is fixing to go to a new home, and I'm fixing to pick up my new ride very soon here in the next couple weeks. I cannot wait to get it. A couple little new changes that I'm pretty geeked up about. Sea deck bow to stern on all of those boats. It's an option. You can get it. But in the 21 there, 96-inch beam, crazy amount of tack on rod storage, fastest hole shot in the game with that Yamaha at 250 show. Just great top end, absolutely fantastic in rough water, no disadvantages. I know people are like, oh, 10 rig. Oh, you used a 10 rig, you run an aluminum. No disadvantages to this boat whatsoever. They also have the X19, and you can get on their website and see all the models they offer. No matter what you're doing, you're doing a little duck hunting, boom, Express. You're doing a little crappie fishing, boom, Express. They got it. You're doing some saltwater fishing, their bay boats, boom, Express. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right. So this guy right here is one of my bass fishing heroes. I talked about him last week. Never had him on the show. Not had a lot of conversations with him over the years at all. He has $2 million in career earnings. $2 million in career earnings between both Bassmaster and the FLW Tour in the day. He's a legend, period, end of story. He absolutely is the definition of the word legend in bass fishing. I said last week he was one of my Mount Rushmore type guys for some of the runs he went on, but he taught us so much about a specific technique, and that being cranking. It's something I've always been obsessed with. I absolutely have just, I don't know, man. I have, and it's because of him that I've always loved that technique from just watching him back in the day absolutely master that technique and then develop lures for different depth ranges with all these different companies he's been with. And there's a reason he has brought his expertise to so many. And I dare say other companies have copied designs and different things, but he's a mastermind at it. He's a very, very gentle soul, a nice individual, and he's retiring from the Bassmaster Elite Series after winning the Classic, winning the Forest Wood Cup. He's won Bassmaster Angler of the Year. Like I said, over a 30-year career, $2 million in earnings. I could not be more pumped for this phone call right now. ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get him on the phone. The Fritz Blitz himself, David Fritz. For all the lowlifers and myself.
Hello.
David Fritz, welcome to Low Budget Live.
Okay.
How are you, sir? It's not, we're not actually live, but we're recording. Man, I really appreciate you doing this. I said last week when the news came out that you were retiring, I'm 40 years old and I grew up in the 90s being obsessed with bass fishing, and David Fritz is on my Mount Rushmore of bass fishing. So if I seem a little like a fanboy, it's because I am. I have nothing but respect for the Fritz Blitz himself. And man, to have you on this show is awesome, an awesome experience. So I welcome you and hope you're doing well after Thanksgiving.
I am. I tried to eat everything I could and had some really good food. So I'm pretty good shape right now.
Now, are you home in North Carolina? Because I know you slide out to Kansas and get on those deer every now and then, too.
Well, I do. But no, actually, I'm in Alabama right now.
So. Okay. Now, you do have ties to Bama. I drew a guy. I was a co-angler in a BFL, and goodness gracious, I can't remember his name. But he was connected to you in some way when I was about 15, 16 years old. And your old buddy, Tony Butts.
Yeah, from back in the day. That's what I was thinking about. Okay. Tony.
Yep. This guy was friends with Tony Butts. And that day he's like, well, this is the color crankbait Fritz throws up here. And this is what Fritz does. And I was like, well, give me all that. Let's throw all that. Because I had my David Fritz Lose cranking stick in the back of that boat and was slinging it, man. But, over 30 years, and I know you've probably been asked this a lot, but what's going through your mind? I mean, there are obviously you've seen so many changes in the sport, and we're still going through them on a daily basis, I feel like, right now. But where's your mind at with kind of hanging up the cleats, so to speak, in the Bassmaster Elite Series?
It's got a lot to do with several things, to be honest. The new forward-facing deal, and now they've got, I don't know, 10 transducers on the boat. They got them everywhere. Yeah. It's been a challenge for me to be able to find a fish with your bait anymore. And it's like, you know, you talk, Patrick Walters is in line in front of me. He said, man, you don't even throw till you see a fish. He said, you're just wasting your time. And I'm thinking, man, I guess I'm just that far behind, but it has really changed. And the vigor of the elites and bass is, these 2 and 3 weeks at a time. And I'm thinking, you know what? I probably, if I could just step back a little bit and fish like I used to when I was a working man, it might be a little easier on me. With tournaments a month or so apart and spread out throughout the year. And so that's what I'm going to try this year. I mean, I'm not quitting fishing. Everybody says, thanks, just because you retire from bass. A fisherman never quits fishing.
I was going to say, David Fritz is not going to quit fishing. I know better than that.
Yeah, I'm not going to quit making crankbaits either. So.
See, that's what I want to hear. I don't – if you – listen, no offense. You can quit fishing tournaments forever. I need you making crankbaits because I'm a cranking fiend because of you. And everyone you've ever touched, I feel like, is one of the best one that's ever been made. And just because of your knowledge, man, it's – I even think back to a crankbait that I was obsessed with, the old Risto wraps. I remember the Risto wrap. I'm from the Pickwick area, and I remember you catching them down there in a tournament, the one Menendez won down there in the 90s. And you were cranking, I remember the old T&M Bassmaster. He's throwing that Risto wrap. And tell my dad, I'm like, I got to have Risto wraps for Christmas. That's what Fritz has got, man. Goodness gracious. But all the, whether it's the DTs and now on the pure fishing side, everything, I mean, the Fritz sides is, man, I think is as good And this is a Tennessee boy saying this, and you know how many flat sides have been made in this state, not necessarily where I live, but man, that Fritz side is out of the pack, is as good as anything I've ever put my hands on for a shallow runner. It's awesome, man. And I know some crankbait. I know some crankbait. So funny, I got some East Tennessee buddies that are just, you know how they get about their homemades, and they're all like, hey, listen, Fritz side's where it's at. And it's amazing to hear that on a production model.
Well, we was just able to get it consistent, and that's what the big deal is, because flat sides are never consistent, but the Fritz side is very consistent.
Yes, it is.
It's how it's built, and we made some big discoveries. And actually, I found out things that I didn't even know while we were building that bait. I worked on it for 3 years. So, but it's just, man, you know, that's one of those baits, one of those century baits that comes out once in a century. That's just a dominant best bait that's been made, you know. I designed some Poes, and I designed all the DTs for Rapla, and they're all good, but that Fritz side is just exceptional.
Man, it just casts so good. And like you said, though, it's that once in 100 year, like it just gets bit. I mean, the thing just flat out catches them in all kinds of different situations. But let me circle back real quick. So you said you're fishing, you want to fish some more spread out events. Have you made up your mind what you're going to do there? Have you got something picked out?
I'm one of my best friends fishes. Actually, I got a lot of friends that fish, yes, but the NPFL.
Okay, listen.
National Professional Fishing League. Well, and, you know, we've got a tournament in Alabama.
Yep.
I won the Classic on Logan Martin.
to kick off the year.
And like I say, I don't know if I can, you know, it's still hard to compete with forward-facing sonar. But having that rest between tournaments, I think it's going to be a big deal for me. There's real good money in it, and I'm cutting down from 9 elites to 6 tournaments. Plus, I'm not done in June and July or August, whenever our last tournament is, and there's none of them that are back-to-back. So you get some time off. It's like the old used to be when I started fishing, you know, I had to work so I could fish. So,
like so many do.
Yep, and we had some time in between tournaments, and that's what this is. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think this is a pretty classy organization. I think it's well-run. And actually, some of the guys fishing bass, I think Patrick Walters.
Oh, yeah, he's been over there. So here's what's funny is the people listen to this show every week, And I call them the low lifers. They've been around for 6 years now listening to this craziness. And since I do the live coverage, I host the live coverage with my buddy Fat Cat there for NPFL. People are going to think this was a set up phone call for you to announce that you're fishing. I'm looking at this camera right now that's on me and telling you folks, I did not know the legend David Fritz was coming to fish NPFL. I did not know this. He's not on the list that I have got, and they haven't announced the official roster yet. I did hear a rumor back earlier that you had maybe kicked around the idea of it, but I did not know that. So, man, I cannot. That's going to be awesome. And like you said, kicking off on Logan Martin in a wintertime kind of situation there. But to start the year where you won the Classic and you got a lot of experience, that's awesome to hear. And that the spaced out part of those events, and this year we're really spaced out, I feel like. I think that's why it's so attractive to so many people. Like you said, it's like it used to be where you don't have all the back-to-back events. And to me, it's like that early to, I'll say, mid-90s to late-90s FLW tour as well, kind of how it was set up to a degree.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, the more I looked at it, and, you know, I'm thinking – I can't quit. I mean, one thing, I still got to stay in tune with what I'm doing. My main goal is making some crankbaits and staying out there and promoting and the same thing I've always done. But then when I saw this, and actually one of my best friends that used to fish all the FLWs with me, Mike Como. We were deer hunting in Wisconsin, and he was telling me about it, and he has been telling me about it, but actually I started asking him a few more questions about it because I'm trying to find an alternative of what I'm going to do, and that's going to fit me perfect fishing six tournaments from a month to 2 months apart. There's two in the spring, two in the summer, and two in the fall. And, you know, with bass, we lost all our fall tournaments unless you're fishing the opens. So anyway, I'm really excited about it.
No, I am too, to hear that you're going to be involved is awesome. And I think that it's a shame that in pro fishing, we don't have more fall events, right? I remember, like I said, in my early years of first starting to follow professional fishing, you guys started in the BP Top 100 days. Y'all would start in August. You'd fish through you were fishing in the winter months a lot of times in the fall and winter. And you would, in the angler of the year, like you won, when you got that trophy, you fished and caught them consistently through every season, basically, to me. And that was so impressive.
Well, I won most of my tournaments that I won, actually won in the fall. And fall is really my strong season. And we haven't had a fall tournament, I don't know how long. I mean, it's just been forever. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes in the fall, maybe those guys can't see them quite as good. Patrick Walters probably still can. but
he's pretty good at seeing them about anywhere. I think he could see them in outer space at this point.
Up in Michigan fishing St. Clair, and he was in line. He said, man, it was really tough today. He said, every now and then you'd see one stick his head up out of grass and go back down. You had to remember where he was. I'm thinking, man, what in the world am I doing? I mean, how do you compete with that?
Oh, my goodness. That's so wild to hear you say, because I'll guarantee you, if you think back to when you first started getting offshore, and I remember – which classic was it that you practiced out of a you acted like you was crappie fishing or catfishing?
That was 93.
I was actually talking to my dad about that earlier. I told him I was having you on. He goes, you remember that time he practiced out of that catfish bus? I do remember that. But I'm sure, like, you hearing Patrick talk about that, the people in the weigh-in. Now think about this. People in the weigh-in line, when you were on the Fritz Blitz and you're sitting out there in the middle of the lake winding a plug around, they're probably like, what is he doing? This guy is on another planet. It is very, it's crazy to hear that. Yeah. And I don't want to say changing of the guard, but you are seeing that with a guy like Patrick covering him this year on the MPFL. And you look at the last 5 years, what he's done in the Elite Series Angler of the Year race. I mean, he's obviously a phenomenal fisherman, but when he's combined this forward facing deal, he's dangerous, man. Like he really is. Yeah, dialed on it.
And that's why I think Bass is setting the record this year for the record number of young anglers coming into it. And it's all because of that, because, you know, in the past, age had no discrimination.
Yep.
But now it does. And, you know, you got to have good eyes. You need to have grew up in the video part of life, you know, where they played video games and they knew exactly what to do. And all that sort of coming into play where it used to not. So, unfortunately, and Rick Klein has said this many times, no matter if you're 15 years old or 75 years old, you can still compete and, you know, as long as you could cast, you was in the game. Well, it's changed from that a little bit because of young eyes and eyesight and, you know, and knowing how to play the game. So anyway, that's
sort of,
and boy, I tell you, I hear more about that.
Oh, I bet.
I hear a ton, and me and Rick Klein have talked about it. Me and Davey Heights talked about it. Larry Nixon, we've talked about it. And we just haven't got the eyes to see what they're seeing. And don't ask me how, but I guess if you had, if you had a 25-inch screen and you had it about 3 inches from your face. But still, they know how to set theirs up. And
no, there's no doubt.
They're not using the same thing we're using. And I've come to find this out. I mean, yeah, the units are the same, but they got them set up totally different.
Yeah.
Running 2 and 3 transducers in the front to get every angle. So they know if a fish moves anywhere within casting range, anywhere around them.
They can track them down. There's no doubt about it. And I actually had this in my notes to ask you. So it's interesting you brought it up because you were still, and I'm sure you still do, you've relied on flashers. I know I can remember seeing some of your you rig them. You take a flasher, put it on every single boat. But being an offshore fisherman, did you embrace, you know, side imaging and down imaging when it came out and mapping? Was that something that you kind of, because you love to fish offshore, and I know you said finding fish with your bait earlier, which is basically all we ever did before all this technology started changing. But did you adopt any of that as well, or were you just kind of relying on the flasher and trying to find fish with your bait, like you said?
Well, I still had both, and I still more or less, you know, when you found them with your bait for 30 or 40 years of fishing, I mean, it's sort of hard to get away from that.
Yeah, I get it. It's a confidence thing.
The problem, another problem that has happened is that most tarmers are getting one, and the fish aren't where they used to live. They're just out there swimming around.
Mm-hmm.
And that I mean, you catch them in 30 feet of water out over 100 feet of water, and, you know, that never happened before. But now the side imaging was the first thing that I saw that was really putting the pressure on structure fish, and they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
They got caught, and they just haven't, they just don't get there except on a few occasions. They just don't get there like they used to. So, most of the tarmers are one just flat bottom out swimming around in an open water. That's how you fish this day and time.
And no rhyme or reason, right? A lot of times, I mean, they're with bait out there. I mean, I know we saw that at Champlain with that last elite. Those fish were traveling on bait. And I can remember Zona saying on live, because he's fished Champlain for years, and he said, you know, his question was, did these fish always do this? And we didn't know it. And when we would catch one off a rock pile, it was just because they swam by and stopped on it while we happened to be casting at it, you know. But the rest of the time, we were like, well, they're just not biting. Or were they swimming around behind us? And you know, I definitely agree with you on fishing the Tennessee River Fish Pickwick for my whole life. And they definitely, definitely do not get on certain areas like they used to. They just don't.
No,
they do not set up. Because they're gonna get their lips knocked off if they do, if they set there for very long. But and I don't think we got the number of fish we used to either in Pickwick. That's a whole nother, or that we did just 10 years ago. But they definitely have changed. And I had that in here, and you really answered it. Is finding fish with your bait, is going down a bank, being able to read that bank, and using a crankbait to find fish, is that a lost art? Or will we ever see it come back?
I don't think we ever will. Not unless, you know, some kind of limit gets put on forward facing. And I don't, you know, bass come real close to doing it this year, but they just can't, you know, they can't do it. I mean, unfortunately, I thought they were going to maybe limit the number of transducers. And they didn't do that either. And actually, I think they was hoping that somebody else, you know, like MPLF, would have done that, and they would have failed. They would have followed it. They would have failed right in suit. But then again, there you've got 90% of the anglers in the tournament that ain't going to catch them unless they can see them. So, you know, what do you do? But I think the good old days of finding fish on cover, they're very limited.
Now, that's what I was going to say. So you even think like a Logan Martin in February, MPFL, that you would almost have to rely on that to be able to win? You don't think there's – because I mean, they're still going to get up there on the bank at some point, oh, yeah. right? You well, know, to wind around and catch them. I mean, but I will say I don't feel like I catch as many winding around as I used to, just going down Chunk Rock
and that kind of thing. Well, we still have our days, mm-hmm. but we don't have our seasons. Because, you know, in the past, we'd lucky to have two. Every now and then, we would have three that you could actually catch them. Even at Seminole, you know, I caught a good catch down there, but still could not compete with the cowboy in the forward facing sonar. But
Cowboy Joe.
And then we go to Santee, and they win it looking at them on cypress trees. So,
flipping,
man.
Yeah, flipping. What would Denny Brower say, huh? You know, can you, I mean, it is remarkable. And look, I say this as, you know, it's something that, I was with Garmin for many years and I like it, but I still, as I tell you, as a 40-year-old, I do miss being able to pick up a square bill and just take off or go skip docks and think that you can get a bite or in the summertime, like, growing up with my dad on the Tennessee River, where paper maps were lining up, you know, triangulating off the bank, and them old days where you fire your plug out there and you're like, oh, there's a bunch of them down there, I can feel them. Or you're getting slime on your line because there's so many piled up on a hole, and then you start catching them, you know. And I do miss that. I do miss those days for sure. Again, though, I don't mind. I like throwing at them and watching them come up and bite my stuff on that too. It's fun. I feel like I've learned a lot about bass by watching them on it, but that was actually another question I had for you is, did you adopt it at all? Did you try to work it into your game at all?
Well, I tried to. I just can't. Now you're talking about the forward.
Yes,
facing,
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you try, but the thing is that I'm not on top of my game like these young guys are, because that's all they study, and they're mm-hmm. using all these transducers, and I promise you, their units look different than mine. And they, the top 8 or 10 guys that are really successful as this, they've got a different view than what everybody else is looking at. I promise you. And this is probably one of the best kept secrets. And little bitty things, it's like it's always been. Little bitty things add up to a lot.
Little details make all the difference, don't they, to separate yourself? Yep. Because at that level, everybody's good. Everybody can do the right things, but it's just something that separates you a little bit.
Yeah. So, I feel bad. You know, the thing about the Fritz side, and I got to brag a little bit, a young kid can get in the back of the boat, tie one on, and throw it all day long, and especially in the spring before fish really get out in open water and not around anything, but and catch fish with
no doubt.
And I'm afraid that art is sort of going away, and that's going to hurt our kids fishing. You know, it's going to limit them to, you know, January, February, or maybe
little March,
October, November, something like that. Or, you know, maybe some of the Florida fishing where they're in grass last time we was Okeechobee, it was one of four faces.
And nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming. It's crazy. It's, you know, you're talking about kids. It's funny. Two of my boys fish with me a lot. One's 12, one's 16. My 12-year-old, and he loves video games. He loves LiveScope. He loves messing with it. He wants to do that. Mm-hmm. My 16-year-old also plays video games a lot. He hates it. He hates everything about it. He says, Daddy, I want to go down the bank. And he likes fishing offshore, but he's like, he'll say, we caught more fish before we stared at this stupid thing. Like, that's what he says. Like, he hates it. But my 12-year-old, they'll get in fights in the boat. Well, I want to go out here and live scope. No, I want to go down the bank with a square bill. I mean, it's funny hearing them argue, because they're both younger guys. And I know there are still, we say, there are a lot of guys in their 20s that don't want to use it. They've just made themselves get really good at it if they're going to compete. That kind of brings me to my next question. Just over 30 years of a career in this, Do you think, because there's been a lot of videos made lately, people complaining about sponsors and how hard it is, because they think, it seems to be the general consensus is, if and I know you certainly have lived this, that, oh my goodness, I made the Elite Series, here comes the money, everybody's going to sponsor me. But that's that's not the case, and never has been, though. And but my question is this: do you think it's harder now to make a living in professional fishing than it was when you first, like, say, the Fritz Blitz years, the 90s, into the early 2000s? Is it harder now than it was then?
I think it probably is. One thing, the sponsors get so diluted. You know, back in the day in the 90s, you know, you had 25 people that was getting, you know, I mean, we were getting most of the money, and to get in that group was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think the sponsors have figured out, well, we can give him $1,000 and give 20 of them $1,000, the same as one person used to be.
Yep.
And you know, without tournament wins, without winning, you know, you can't survive doing this. And one thing, the cost is horrendous. I know the Elites, you've got 9 tournaments at $45,000 a tournament, and then you got another 2, not $45,000 a tournament, $5,000 a tournament, mm-hmm. $45,000. But then you've got, you know, all your expense of getting there, staying, buying fishing license, buying fuel, which fuels down a little bit right now, but
not enough.
Ain't always. and it's a huge expense. It's huge. And, you know, you say, well, you know, you finish 50th to make 10 grand. Well, that's about it. You could probably get you a job about anywhere and make more money than that.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a fact.
Because you've got 4,500 in it, and you're going to have 3,000, 3,500 in it. And that ain't counting if you go pre-fish. So, you know, you worked all week and you're going to make $2,000. And 2×9 tournaments is $18,000. Now, how much money have you
Goodness
made?
Goodness gracious. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I agree with this. You know, fishermen, where they used to pay one guy 20 grand, now they split that 20 grand over 20 people. And I do think that fishermen have done this to themselves to a certain degree, because so many people, because there are more anglers now, high school and college. I mean, that didn't even exist. When I was coming through high school and college, that wasn't even an option. I was fishing whatever I could get into, because that kind of thing wasn't out there. And I think that there are so many people that want it, and there are so many people that want the logos on their jerseys and all, and the boot wraps and all that. Yeah. They'll do it for really less than they should. And I think we've seen that. And it would hurt a guy like a David Fritz, who comes in and says, hey, especially being with your resume, your career that you've had, and you say, hey, well, I'll do it for this. And they, and a sponsor looks at you and goes, well, Johnny, Timmy, Bobby, they'll all do it for less, David. So we're going to spread our money out over 3 or 4 people. But I do think fishermen, for sure, in my opinion, have done it to themselves a little bit, just for settling for too little. And I get there's a risk there. You've got to pay for it yourself. And every little bit does help, obviously. But it's so expensive, like you said, the deal's got to be better. And I also think, though, that you lived those – Irwin Jacobs, FLW years when Walmart was involved, and you saw that and some of these big corporate sponsors. But I think fishermen not looking outside the box hurts them too, don't you?
I think so. Yep, I think so. It's
and that's easier said than done.
Yeah, it's just a totally different game now. It's, man, I mean, I don't know what else you can say, but it's a tough living. And I would hate for my son to get in it right now, just because it's, you know, it's so expensive, and a young man can go broke and be broke for a long time in a heartbeat.
I agree. You can put yourself in a bad financial spot. And I feel like, to a certain degree, other than the fact that it's 5 times more expensive now between the boats and the equipment and the entry fees than it was even 10 years ago, It's always been high risk, right? Yeah, high stakes gambling.
Yeah, it's
always
a gamble. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big gamble.
There's never been a really a quote professional sport where you got to pay to play, you know. And this has certainly been one. Let me ask you this, just because you can say I'm not answering that. You can say ballpark answer, whatever you want to say here. But when you won the Classic, because this was always the Bassmaster Magazine story, is millions of dollars in endorsements. Millions of dollars. And, you know, I can remember Bob Cobb saying that on the TNN show. When David Fritz won the 93 Classic, how many millions of dollars in endorsements did you get? I have to know.
Well, you know, they used to say it's worth $1 million.
Yep.
So, and in all honesty, I don't know that it was. When I won Angler of the Year the next year, yeah, it was.
Okay.
I don't know that it was without that. But this day and time, I mean, sure it is. You win used to win $500,000 when you won the Classic. So you were halfway there. So, When I won it, I won $50,000.
No, I couldn't remember. That was going to be my next question. So 50 grand first place for the 93
yeah.
Classic.
Yep.
Goodness gracious. That is something to think about. What bait was that, a pose you were cranking then?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I thought. And that was became a signature deal, right? After that.
Yeah.
that's rods and reels and all that. I mean, it's so amazing to think about that tournament. Certainly, changed a lot of lives. But I had to ask that because that was always the story, you know. That was always, man, this is worth $1 million in endorsements, and you know, the streets are paved with gold. But that's interesting.
And it went up from there. You know, I won the Forest Wood Cup in '97,
mm-hmm.
and it paid $100,000. Well, the next year it went to $250,000, and then the next year it went to $500,000, and then it went to $1 million.
Yep,
so I sort of been behind the stick on every one of them. But anyway,
day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. Well, it's certainly been an awesome career. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for coming on. And hell, you made an announcement about NPFL that I wasn't expecting. So this is breaking news. David Fritz to the National Professional Fishing League. I look forward to, you know, we cover the top eight every day that we do live, and I guarantee you we're going to get to talk to Mr. Fritz a few times this year on NPFL Live. I can't wait, man. Hopefully we'll kick it off at Logan Martin with a big one.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I'm sort of excited, and you know, I made the decision to retire from bass, and then I'm sort of thinking, you know what? I can't quit. What am I? I mean, I can't quit. But I was looking for some way to fish a lot less and more spread out, and it's just a perfect answer for me.
Yep. It's you're gonna have fun there. You already, you know, knowing Mr. Como, great people. Everybody associated with the deal is, I'm not throwing myself in that, but everybody associated with it, they're great people. They're great to work with, and the anglers, man, the camaraderie. I just think you're really gonna enjoy it next year, and I can't wait to cover it and watch it all go down. That's for sure. I appreciate everything you've done. I'm glad to see you're not hanging up the cleats completely, though. I'll be honest. I'm selfish. I need David Fritz out there on the water throwing that plug around. And I look forward to the season. And thank you for joining Low Budget Live. I appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And we'll see you at Logan Martin.
All right, babe.
All right,
see you
thanks.
There.
David Fritz, everybody. An announcement. He's fishing the National Professional Fishing League. Shame on me for not knowing that. I did hear a rumor that was possible. But I'm kind of in shock right now. Crazy to hear. And listen, y'all know I talk forward facing. Everybody talks forward facing to death, but it's interesting to hear a guy like David that has made his career, as he said, finding fish with a bait. And you do have these paradigm shifts. And like I said to him there, when he's hearing Patrick Walters, and he's mind blown by what Patrick Walters is saying. And I love that he used Patrick as an example, because I say that all the time. I think he's the best tournament bass fisherman in the country right now. And maybe for the last 5 years, to be honest, he's a freak. But it's amazing to hear a legend like that say how mind blown he is hearing Patrick talk. And you know, though, you know, it was the same way, because, man, guys are just beating the brakes off the bank, and Fritz slides out there, structure fishing, and just absolutely starts going to town, and he looks like he's in the abyss. I mean, I remember that was mind-blowing to me as a kid, and my dad knew that that existed a little bit, just being on the Tennessee River as much as he was, but we would get out there, and I would feel so lost out in the middle of the lake when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, And then you'd watch these David Fritz videos, and dude, he's just catching them cast after cast. And so it's interesting to think about that it was that way, that there were people in the bag line when he's sitting there going, yeah, well, I, you know, sitting off that point 3 miles out there in the middle of nothing, looking like I'm throwing to the abyss, that there were guys that had never left the bank in bass fishing. They had not. They had not left the bank. He was a pioneer. And the way he was fishing, for sure, at the tournament level, professional level. And now we're seeing that with these guys that have got forward facing so dialed. They've got the techniques dialed. And we are in a new era. And that's the only way you can look at it. Obviously, for someone like David, you can tell he's frustrated with that. And I get that. I get that. I certainly do. But it is, it's here. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think it's a really strong tool. And as I said, I enjoy it. 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't know what my stance will be on it, to be honest. It's all so new and changing by the day. But very interesting conversation right there. Just picking up on, like, I don't know, the changing of the guard, so to speak. And it happens in every sport where the heroes step away. And they step away from the spotlight. And then there are new heroes for the next generation, and that's where we're living right now, professional bass fishing. And just that's where it's at. I mean, I know Klund's entering his 50th year, for sure going to be out there mixing it up, but we had Nixon step down from the elites. You got David's going to step down, take a step back, schedule-wise, fish fewer events, fish with us, though, in the National Professional Fishing League. It's going to be a very special season there with a very interesting roster, that is for sure. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in each and every week. It's awesome to get to do this. That right there, y'all know I was nervous. I know you could tell. I was rambling incessantly. That guy is, if you could just truly crack his brain open, the amount of fishing knowledge that's there, it's just, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Such a good dude. And I thank him for coming on, just like I thank you guys for listening. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was really interesting for me. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues, like always, man. And it's a song written by me, sang by me. I get that question still weekly. It's an old one, but some of y'all like it. So I'm going to take you out with it. May do a live next week. I'm feeling it. May do one this week. We'll see. I got to see what the high school basketball schedule is. We're back in full swing with that for sure right now, to say the very least. I appreciate each and every lowlifer out there. We're going to keep doing this as long as y'all keep tuning in. I'll see y'all next week.
See. From Jacksontown to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.